interested in watching it. Me, I'm a radio guy. I like to listen to it. Plus, I'll be busy. Tonight, I will be in Conway, the final Central Arkansas basketball coaches show of the night. It will be streamed on the internet and the Buzz app tonight only. And then it will be taped delayed on the 103.7 The Buzz if you're interested in listening to Coach Williamson talk about his Bears. First ever trip to the Southland Conference Tournament, something you have to qualify for, which I don't like the format, but I have to give a pat on the back to the Bears for getting there.
Congratulations!
And speaking of, how about the Sugar Bears and Megan Herbert, who wraps up her illustrious career at UCA from a home standpoint on Saturday against Oral Roberts. It is going to be senior day, and it's going to be an interesting one. She is about to put herself in some pretty elite company. In fact, she already has, really. But she has 2,283 points, and I think she needs like 30 points more to become the all-time leading scorer in women's Division I basketball in the state of Arkansas. She'll pass Sonya Tate, who, oddly enough, is being inducted into the Hall of Fame in this latest class.
Yeah, I saw that in the paper today.
Yeah, so interesting. But, yeah, Megan Herbert, is she's had an impressive career. She doesn't get the 30, which wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities with the year she's had. She could get it in the Southland Tournament, which starts next week in Katy, Texas. So
congratulations
to her as well. So 2 o'clock start on Saturday against Oral Roberts. If you want to see a living Arkansas legend while she wraps up her career, Megan Herbert would be a good bet for you. Oh, and by the way, she was named the Southland Conference Player of the Week this week for the 17th time in her career, which doesn't even seem possible.
Man, like I was telling you earlier, I got a chance to see her play like 2 years ago, man. The girl is just a phenomenal ball player, male or female. But the thing about it is that she can freaking shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, from the field. And, I mean, I'm sure she probably shoots at least 80% or so from the free throw. Man, she makes a ton.
Yeah, she's good.
She goes to the free throw line and makes a ton of free throws every game, man. But awesome, awesome career achievement.
I called her last game in high school, the championship game. And I was like, this girl's going to be pretty good. Didn't think she'd have the kind of career she's had, though. She averaged 27 points and 14 rebounds last week, including a 35-point, 17-rebound performance against McNeese State on Saturday.
30 points?
35 awesome. And 17. That's ridiculous, Jay. Ridiculous. As a guy who had 17 rebounds in his career in high school, I can't relate. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to Jim Harris of Sporting Life Arkansas. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How you doing?
Everything's fine now. Jim, talk to me tomorrow if Arkansas pulls off a surprising win tonight against Missouri. I'll be in a great mood. But when they don't, I'll be feeling a little down tomorrow.
Well, here's how I see it. This team is due to have a hot night shooting, and this could be the night. They have not shot that well. They did beat Kentucky, with a sub 40% shooting day. I mean, it's amazing. It was amazing how well they hit the boards against Kentucky. That may have been the best rebounding performance against a Kentucky team that I can ever recall Arkansas having.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, of course, they had a lot to rebound because they missed a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And then they haven't shot that well in the preceding games up to it either. So, who knows? This could be the night.
It could be. But
they shoot 50-plus percent and don't turn it over. They got a chance to go up there and shock the world. And Mike Anderson leave there and those fans get even further upset.
Yeah, well, you know, the odds makers certainly give them a much better chance than they did at Florida. Arkansas was a 17-point dog at Florida, only a 10-point underdog tonight at Missouri. I would be surprised, I guess, a little bit less even maybe than I was when they beat Florida at home. So, you know, again, I think they got very fortunate. I don't want to say lucky, but there were a lot of breaks that went their way. What were they, down 5 with 45 seconds to go? And they pulled out the victory at home. That was a team that clearly was more physically capable than Arkansas as far as, you know, fighting it out on the boards. And, look, they're one of the best, or maybe the best, rebounding team in the league, as you talked about. And but like we were talking about, Jay and I were talking about earlier, it was men against boys. I mean, these guys are extremely physical. Now, if Arkansas knocks down a lot of shots and there aren't as many rebounds to pick up, maybe it'll be fine tonight, like you said. But I think it's going to take that kind of special 50% kind of effort tonight to win.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they can't go up there and shoot 37%, or it's going to be ugly.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's not really much.
Yeah, there's really not. You're right. They're going to have to shoot out of their minds. They're going
to have to shoot the basketball. I mean, they have to shoot the basketball, and Marshawn Fowl can't sit on the bench half the game. I mean, they have to not turn it over. They got to keep their studs on the court inside. They have to attack inside. The one thing I loved about the LSU game is the way Arkansas played it. Is it not one time? I mean, they lost that game. Could have won that game, but not one time until at least the last minute did they get away from, you know, Mike Anderson pleading and his game plan to keep jamming it inside and not turn it into a, you know, shooting off balance 22-footer. So it just didn't look like a typical road game for Arkansas because they finally sort of grew up and understood that if you shoot that kind of way and you shoot 25% from three-point or worse from outside, you lose to South Carolina by 21, or you lose like they have to play at places where they shouldn't have. I mean, you know, when this season's over, you're going to just look back at the Vanderbilt and South Carolina games as costing them a spot in the NCAA tournament. That's all there is to it.
You're right.
But they could make up for it, and they could certainly make some noise if they're able to stick with the game plan and knock down some shots, because they're going to have shots against Missouri. I don't think Missouri is that good defensively on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were last year either. I mean, there's going to be opportunities to hit baskets from outside.
Yeah, that's what worries me. I don't want Arkansas shooting from outside. And like you said, maybe they're due for a hot day, but the last couple of games have been trash from outside. The good news is Kentucky was worse from the three-point arc in the game the other day. But Arkansas shooting 25-plus threes is not a recipe for wins, I wouldn't think.
No, not at all. But I hope they're able to get something inside and not get in foul trouble and not turn it over as they have at some places. They did turn it over 19 times at LSU, but those weren't – I don't know what the deal was with that game. I don't think we've even been able to talk about that game since it happened, but that was really odd. It was odd the way some guys played. It was just overall – I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it was odd. It was frustrating. It was odd. It was crazy. It was strange, but – a couple things for Arkansas. Here's the deal. Here's what I would say if I was Mike Anderson before the game tonight. I would say, look, guys, the only team in the SEC shooting the three worse than you is Mississippi State. And then I'd say, now go get them. I hope that's the lasting thing in their mind before they tip off. Don't shoot a lot of threes. You're not good at it. It's fine not to be, but don't shoot them if you're not good at it. The other thing is try to keep Missouri off the line. This is a Missouri team that's shooting 75% at the line, by far the best free throw shooting team in the league. Alex Oriaki is one of the best ones as well individually. So if they can keep them off the free throw line, which is tough when you got a team that's going to try to push you around and is very good at playing physically. Arkansas's got it's a rough challenge tonight. If you were going to decide which matchup was better for Arkansas between two teams that are expected to make the tournament, Florida or Missouri, which team do you think is a tougher draw for Arkansas?
On the road?
Just in general.
Yeah.
Let's say neutral court, which Arkansas can't win there either, but still, or hasn't.
Well, I still think Florida is overall the best, has the most talent. They can put the best five out there over Missouri, but they're pretty close.
I think the keys tonight, you've got to get the couple of guys who do want to play physically, you've got to get them in the mix. And, I mean, Marshawn's always sort of willing, you know, and I always wonder how able he is, you know. But it's like I don't want to see a lot of 50-50 balls with Hunter Mickelson in the mix. Not to knock him, but, I mean, he's not real strong with the ball right now. But you need to get set like Qualls. I want to see Qualls and Clark fighting for loose balls. And those guys.
Yeah, there's the keys. Definitely.
I think Clark has definitely taken the biggest step forward over the past couple of weeks. I think Coach Anderson mentioned that, you know, usually with the junior college players, it takes them a little while because they're thrown in the mix so quick. But we've seen him the last three or four weeks really come on and really made some plays. And I think we really need him to be big and attack the rim tonight. And as far as the three-point shooting, I think we're good when we share the ball and we get to that open shot. I just think sometimes we get it down in the shot clock and we're taking, you know, a three is tough enough, but a contested three, you know, we're going to be in a tough situation if it gets down to that point where we're having to take tough contested shots consistently on the road.
Jim, as I was looking through the numbers today, something jumped out at me, and I wasn't surprised at all because they've been hanging around the top scoring, but B.J. Young at 6, Marshawn Powell at 7 at 15, and almost 15 a game each. B.J. Young 7th in the league in assists. The thing that jumped off the page at me was B.J. Young is 9th in the league in field goal percentage at 44%. This is a guy that has blown more than his share of layups and can't shoot outside of his own shadow. It's pretty remarkable to me that he's able to shoot that high a percentage.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about it. I mean, he's had an opportunity to shoot 60%.
Yeah.
He's probably blown 20% of those shots.
Uh-huh.
He missed a few the other day that were kind of those odd. I mean, let's not take the standard layup. Let's go underneath and reverse. You know, I'm almost laughing about it still. I am laughing about it. I don't know. He's. I think the best word for him is mercurial.
Mercurial. Yes, that's a good one.
That's how he plays. And how many points did he have against Kentucky?
Like 13, maybe.
Okay, so he in the previous three games he had 15 total.
Mm-hmm.
So he almost equaled what he had in the previous three games, but he still didn't reach his average. You know, people have sort of figured him out. I think he's kind of hit a fatigue point, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, seems like he's probably at that point in the year where, I mean, his legs are probably about to give out.
Well, and J.J.
What happens in this style?
Yeah. J.J. pointed out, too, about sharing the basketball and getting open looks. I think with him, you know, when he doesn't feel like he's got to be the guy as much, and Mike Anderson had commented after, I guess,
mm-hmm.
the game before LSU, that he was pressing. And again, was at Florida. You know, when he presses, he's not very good. But when he plays within the offense and just tries to be a guy and not the guy, he
mm-hmm.
is a hard guard. I mean, when he's got man-to-man and he's not going up against two or three guys and he's not trying to force it every possession, he's tough to stop off the dribble without a doubt.
But then he stops himself off the dribble by standing out there dribbling,
mm-hmm.
you know, for 15, 20 seconds. That's the BJ we don't want to see tonight against that against Pressey or whoever happens to be matched up on him. It'll probably be Bell, I guess. But yeah, there's an opportunity here. I guess we could talk about it all the way to tip off. But
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, I'm tired of talking the scenarios. I mean, I don't even want to talk about what the potential for the NIT or what they
just
have to do to get there.
Go out there and do it.
Yeah.
Either do it or don't do it. You know, but make an effort. That's all we want.
I do want a few things here for folks who are paying attention to what's going on from a football standpoint. By the way, again, at the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk to Chris Gregg, who had a spectacular combine. But practice begins March 10th for Arkansas. I'm looking at the SEC dates here. April 20th is the spring game, and Pro Day is coming up here on March 15th, which is a week from Friday. So if you want to mark your calendars for any of those, it'll be upon us before you know it. But, hey, again, Jim, we talked about this on the show quite a bit. Before we move on to baseball, I want to commend Coach Bielema, and I'm sure other coaches have done this in the past. I guess I didn't notice as much, but it seems like he has been full steam ahead as far as getting out in the different communities around the state. He was in Hot Springs last night. I know he's been at some other Razorback clubs around Central Arkansas and other parts of the state. I love the effort he's making, his staff's making, to get acquainted with the folks in the state, which, you know, to some degree I would expect that, but I think he's gone above and beyond to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of being the Razorback coach, and I know it's in their contract, you know, to go to all these Razorback club things, but he's doing it, and it really seems like, from the stories I've heard, such as when he got to spend a little weekend off after the signing day and he went to Oaklawn, and how out there he was sort of with fans who recognized him. And he's just he's kind of winning everybody over.
Mm-hmm.
They're working their tail off. I mean, if you follow any of the recruiting that's going on, I mean, they're setting the table up for a great class for next year, too, already. I mean, this staff has come in here just staff's busy working their rear ends off. I'm really impressed. And, of course, you know, all that beside the point, it's going to matter on the field to a lot of people, and they've got a lot, as I'm sure JJ can tell you, too, there's a lot of opportunity for some players to step up and, you know, make this coming season better than a lot of the national forecasters are going to say it is. I'm sure they're going to be picked near the bottom of the division, but tons of opportunity ahead, you know, somebody to step up at quarterback. And that's where we're going to probably be thinking here in the coming season about how this staff operates, what they can get out of the players on hand.
You
know what I've heard?
What's that?
And this is something, too, that's kind of neat. Some of the high school coaches, this may not hit with the fans as much, but some of the high school coaches feel like this staff, and Bielema in particular, is so connected to them, more so than any coach, you know, since Danny Ford. But they seem to be able to he seems to relate with these coaches who spend a lot of time with him on that kind of level, being in the trenches. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just there's something about the guy and how he relates from his own playing, you know, being a smart guy, you know, working from being a walk-on to being a starter, having played, then having coached at a pretty much powerhouse for the Big Ten, and then to come in here and just sort of have this kind of how he relates to these coaches, these high school coaches who've all been, you know, players or something along the way and worked hard and try to build the programs up. I think it's interesting to hear them say how they relate to this guy. I'm not knocking the previous two coaches when I say that, but we know that the previous coach in particular was not really that big into, you know, meeting that much with the high school coaches or doing the clinics.
Understatement alert.
But, Jim, my man, you are exactly right. I've gotten a chance to visit with several high school coaches over the past couple of weeks. Coach Bolden, one of those guys over in North Little Rock, and everybody's pretty much echoed that same sentiment in saying that Coach B, he really seems to be a man of the people. If you follow him on Twitter, he's not, you know, he's not shying away from any comments. And but also at the same time, you see a guy who, when people say, you know, you want a guy to come in, they want to build a border around the state and keep all the guys home. I mean, this guy has actually gone out there and has really, you know, done that and making sure. You see he's got early commitments from the big D lineman down at El Dorado from One Day. And I think it really makes the people in the state feel that they are a part of the program, especially the higher school coaches, because, you know, they are the lifeline, you know, to being able to be consistent and being able to compete year in and year out, is being able to keep these players home, because you can't go out and guarantee to pull guys out of state year in and year out and do that consistently.
I do want to say one thing as we continue our love fest for Coach Bielema, which I'm a big fan of his, don't get me wrong, but we are in the honeymoon period, and I was thinking about this the other day. I saw a write-up about how, you know, he likes his reggae music, and he, you know, he's kind of an every man. He likes to, you know, he's a beer drinking dude. I mean, he's just kind of a normal guy. He likes to wear flip flops. And I thought, that's all cool. It's like, oh, that's cool. That's kind of cool. I mean, he's a different guy. He's not big on shoes. That's kind of cool. But you lose to Alabama 3 years in a row. It's like, what an idiot. I mean, the guy doesn't even wear shoes. How can this guy be our head coach? I mean, we're that far away. So just keep an eye on that. Remember I said that, because all those cute little fun things right now about him that makes him an everyman is going to contribute to him being the stupidest guy in the history of Arkansas coaches if it doesn't go well.
But, Justin, it's a marathon and not a sprint.
I'm with you. I'm just saying. I've seen these fans. I heard the fans turning on Coach Anderson earlier in the season. B.J. Young went from All-SEC superstar to bum after the LSU game. I mean, everybody's reactionary. We are guilty of it at times. I'm just saying. Jim, real quick on
speaking
baseball.
Speaking of, yes. I know, we're about to get to reactionary.
Yeah. Real quick on baseball, because we got to hit our break here, because we got Chris Gregg at the bottom of the hour. But I don't know if it was lost on everybody else. I don't know if you guys at Sporting Life Arkansas picked up on this, but we talked about it on the show yesterday. Arkansas, a school that recently switched from Coke to Pepsi, went to the Coca-Cola Classic in Arizona. It did not go well. What do you expect? It's called karma, folks.
Yeah.
We've got to give him the Pepsi Classic next season.
That's part of it. They're still making some of the problems that beset the team last year, untimely hitting, crucial errors on routine plays, hurt them in one game. They had great pitching for 4 days and yet had a blown inning that cost them a two. I mean, this sounds almost like last year all over again, and the hitting has improved with guys like Tyler Spoon. That guy's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
You love that dude.
But they were set up for failure by being ranked number one, I guess. Some teams can grasp that, you know, kind of run with it. It seems like that's just been a target or a bullseye for these guys, and they haven't responded to it as well this early. It really starts when Ole Miss comes to town March 16th, 15th, whatever dates those are.
Yeah.
In there, third weekend in March when the SEC season starts. I mean, that's what's going to matter.